Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the stories of the prophets are a source of great strength and comfort for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it's important for all of us to learn and reflect on these stories and derive the lessons, the strength, and spirituality from the stories of these great and noble prophets that Allah has given to us in the Quran. Therefore, I'm very pleased to share with you the series that I delivered in the Qalam Masjid, on the Qalam campus, all throughout the month of Ramadan 2024, corresponding to 1445 after Hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for all of us. Please enjoy the series.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Inshallah, today in our reflection on the lives of the prophets from the Quran, we'll be going inshallah over a second trait of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yesterday we covered the long passage from Surah As-Safat about the sacrifice that Prophet Ibrahim displayed in many scenarios, whether it was earlier in his life, whether it was later in his life. Today we're going to be talking about a shorter passage from the surah, actually, which shares his name, Surah Ibrahim, number 14, in Allah. The ayat that we'll be discussing are ayat from ayah 35 to 41, inshallah. And in this passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights, you know, like a beautiful prism, when light shines through it, it displays many different beautiful colors. Allah Ta'ala highlights now another beautiful trait of Prophet Ibrahim's spiritual character. And that is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite having a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displaying his sincerity and his belief in every situation, he never let that sincerity and that belief become something that took him away from submission, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he first goes to what we now know as Mecca, he leaves his family, Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, and Ismail is a young child. And as the story goes, Ismail is hungry and there is nothing to eat. His mother is not able to produce any food, because there is no vegetation here, there's no water, and it's a very, very difficult scenario. And at this moment, in the height of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Ibrahim to leave and to go back and to leave his wife and his newborn son. And as he's leaving, the narration tells us that his wife calls out to him and says to him, "Where are you going?" And he doesn't respond. And she calls out again, "Where are you going? Where are you? Why are you leaving us?" And doesn't respond. And then finally she asks the right question, which is, "Allahu amaraka bihada." Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you to do this? And to this, Ibrahim alayhi salam turns around and he responds, "Yes." And at that moment, his wife Hajar, she says beautifully that if Allah commanded you to do this, then the same Allah who commanded you will never ever let us down. And so her faith was displayed in this moment. Now, we know the story of what she did after this moment. We know that there was her crying child, and she was running back and forth between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. And then, of course, at the apex, the climax of the moment, she is given or gifted the well of Zamzam. And that well then becomes what we know even today, the well of Zamzam and Safa and Marwa till today, the action that people on Hajj and Umrah, they perform in ritual memory of her action. But the other side of the story is also very interesting. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala memorializes. Allah ta'ala gives us the perspective of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when he answers this question, that I'm leaving you here in the middle of the desert. And some of the tafsir actually says that in that moment, he waited to perform his dua until he was able to get out of eyesight, because he knew that if he had a moment to look at his family, it would weaken him. He crossed over the hills, right, the mountains of Mecca, and he raised his hands and he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a dua of submission and a dua of desperation. And this is the trait that we're going to hopefully be able to glean from tonight. He says, and Allah ta'ala tells us, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ بِجَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آنَا وَجُنُوبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, that, O Allah, please make this city a place that is secure and keep my children away from the worship of idols. You know, if any of you have children in this room, you understand that even more so than your own well-being, your own fitness, your own mental and spiritual well-being, you think oftentimes about the fitness, well-being spiritually of your children. You know, many of us come to a point where we start to think about, and many people in here probably even moved to Dallas because you thought about, what can I do to preserve the faith of my children? So this is a challenge that from the time, you know, immemorium, parents who have had a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have always displayed their concern through their children, not just through their material well-being, but primarily their spiritual well-being. I mean, if any of us in this room were asked about our professional aspirations for our children, you know, there'd be some that would say we want our children to become doctors, engineers, lawyers. The people saying that are probably themselves not doctors, engineers, lawyers, right? The doctors are saying, don't become a doctor, right? The lawyers are saying, don't become lawyers. But, and then there's a few of you that want them to become Mavs players, right? Allah give tawfiq, inshallah. We'll have to stop fundraising then, inshallah, if we have a couple Muslim Mavs players. But many of us, if we're asked about professional trajectory, we can give the answer. How do you do that? Well, do well in school, take the MCAT, da-da-da-da-da. Do well in school, take the LSAT, and so forth. But have we thought about what it would take for our children to do well spiritually? Like, have we strategized? Have we sat with families and figured out roadmaps on how we can make sure that our children love Allah and His Messenger? They love the masjid, they love the Quran, that they want to be Muslims and they want to take this path as their own. This was the concern of Ibrahim. Before even asking about anything else, notice this city has nothing in it. He describes it later, he asks for provision. But the first thing he asks is, O Allah, protect them from ever worshiping anything else. Before their material well-being, O Allah, please protect their spiritual well-being. Why? Because he says, my Lord, those asnam, those idols, have caused many people to go astray. He's seen the effect of it. Day in, day out, we all see the effects of an absence of iman in society, pop culture, at work. We see it. What happens when a person doesn't believe in Allah and His Messenger? What kind of degeneracy their soul falls into? May Allah Ta'ala protect us. We witness it, and we fear it, and we're concerned about it, but sometimes that concern is not strong enough to motivate us to action. But Ibrahim in his dua, he's saying, oh Allah, my goal and my dream is just that my family and I become submitters to you. And I've seen the effects of this stuff. I grew up in the shade of idolatry. I've noticed and witnessed the destruction of faith that these things can have. And then he says, وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, or he says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, that whoever follows me, O Allah, then they are from me, and whoever goes against me, they are up to your forgiveness and your mercy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah Ta'ala tells us that Ibrahim alayhi salam switches his mode here, and once he's now done clarifying the matter about their spiritual well-being, he then asks and says, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. This is where he describes it. O Allah, I have placed and made our abode for my family and myself a place that has no vegetation. I know many of you are thinking that this is Dallas as well. But he's talking about Mecca, right? And he's saying that this is a place that has nothing. No water, no greenery, no vegetation, nothing. But it does have something. عند بيتك المحرم. It does have this sacred house. And when you weigh the spiritual benefit of what is there versus the material vulnerability of what is not there, Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling us 10 times out of 10, you take what's spiritually available and you leave what is materially available. Many people in this room are nodding because you've sacrificed a material opportunity for a spiritual opportunity. You've come to a place where you know that you and your family can benefit in terms of your relationship with Allah, even though the contract that was waiting for you in another place, at another time, with another place, another company, etc., was very lucrative. You now share a trait with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that you brought your family, whether it's here, whether it's, this is more metaphorical or physical, you decided not to take that job and stay at a different job. Why? Because you knew that the position that you were offered, that you were going to take, would have threatened the spiritual well-being of you and your family. So you decided to leave it be. In those moments, you're sharing in the trait of this submission of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he says, why did we bring them here, O Allah? We brought them here, رَبَّنَا لُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that maybe they can establish the prayer. Notice, he's a prophet of God. I mean, imagine, subhanAllah, if I told you as parents that your children, inshallah, will grow up and they will be people who pray salah. Inshallah. How at ease does that put your heart? Only half of you said inshallah. The other half are like, we want hufaz. We want muftis. We want qalam graduates. I want you all to understand something. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah for what is both the foundation and the pinnacle of spirituality. The foundation of spirituality is salah. But the pinnacle of spirituality is salah. What's the difference? Foundationally, knowing you have to do it, at its highest apex, loving to do it. We want Allah to make us and our families people that pray, but not just pray, but that we love prayer. لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ. We establish prayer. Nothing can move our prayer in our life whatsoever. And then he continues, and he says, O Allah, you understand. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنْ. That, O Allah, you have complete and total knowledge of everything, whether we hide it or whether we proclaim it. The dangers that I'm afraid of, that I can't even speak of, O Allah, you know them. The opportunities that I've passed up on, O Allah, you know them. With Allah, the beautiful thing about your dua is that you don't have to emphasize and re-emphasize details over and over again. In fact, sometimes you can even stumble over your own words because you're too busy trying to figure out how to say something. Take rest in knowing that when you speak to Allah with your dua, He knows every single thing that you are mentioning to Him. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaims that there is nothing on this earth that can be hidden from Him completely and totally. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then finishes his dua of submission after seeking it from Allah, first asking for spiritual, then seeking material, and saying, O Allah, give them protection. And then he mentions, finally, the blessings Allah Ta'ala has given him. And this is the three-part step of submission, is that you finish always by recognizing your blessings. Every dua should contain a moment where you don't ask for something, but you thank Allah for something. So he says, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي وَهَبَ لِي عَلَى الْكِبْرِ إِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. Thanks be to the one who, despite my seniority and my age, he gave me my children. He gave me what I thought was impossible. He gave me what I thought would never happen. He gave me these sons of mine, and he gave me the ability to have my dua answered. In Rabbi لَسَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. He is the one who is the hearer of all prayers. Brothers and sisters, in this Ramadan, we have an opportunity in these first 10 days, and then the next 10 days, and then the final 10 days, to experience this gradient of submission that Prophet Ibrahim has displayed here. We have an opportunity to go from people that have to fast, to people that are fasting, to people that love fasting, to people that come to masjid to pray because others text us, to those that come regularly because it's our routine, to then the last 10 nights where we're actually sacrificing things that we love to spend time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua is a summary of what submission can do when it transforms your heart. It takes you from a slave that was brought by shackles and change and turns you into a slave that brings yourself and presents yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rabbi, labbaik. I'm here for you. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us this sincerity. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us this submission that manifests from force into willingness. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the bounties and the blessings of those things that we pray for. Subhanakallahumma hamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.